Hey there, everybody out in Radio Land. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And it is all about the anointing of God and the presence of God in our lives. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. You have tuned in to the right show this afternoon. We are so glad to be here for the next 2 hours with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and my associate pastor, Jim Ellsbury, is right here.
Hey, everybody.
Pastor Jim, I tell you what, it's going to be a great day. We are in a fantastic series, are we not?
We are doing the book of 1 John, one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's so, mine too.
You know, and I mark my Bible. Of course, I have so many, it's kind of hard to keep track of.
Well, he's got 143 now. Cedric, he had a birthday this
not
week.
Not quite that many.
Yeah. PJ had a birthday.
New 29 now?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
This is my birthday Bible.
But look at his new birthday Bible.
I saw that.
It has
each part labeled so you can get it from the outside, right?
Oh, no, that's the other one.
That's the other one.
Okay.
I brought two today.
But I have two here too, but he is always, you know, buying the latest translation, and he's our scholar. He's our resident scholar. So he got a new Bible for his birthday, though. I mean, can you imagine, Cedric, a Bible for his birthday?
That's cool.
And now he's a little older than he was last Sunday.
I'm pretty sure I got a Bible for Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right. So it's okay to get one for your birthday.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yes. Especially for PJ.
For PJ, it's the perfect gift. It's the perfect gift to add to the collection. And what is so cool about this guy is he actually uses these. And he brings them to Bible study, and sometimes he loans them to some of our people, but he is so into the original Greek and Hebrew and really understanding what God was trying to say in the scripture. And I love that about this guy. I love that about this guy. So he's cool, don't you think, Cedric?
I like it.
So happy birthday, PJ.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, what I was saying was, you know, I mark, and if you go back like to my New American Standard Bible that I've had for, 30 years or
right. That's or how more, long
more,
I've had
actually
mine.
More than 30 years.
Yeah.
You look at 1 John and it's like that highlighted, marked, notes,
yeah.
All up and down. I mean, you
it's
know, it is one of my favorite books.
It is.
And, you know, the theme, Alive with Five.
Alive with Five.
You know,
five
like
chapters, you know. And so we are on chapter four today. So we are alive with four today. chapter four. But if you have your Bible, you can join us. If you're driving down the road, we wouldn't suggest it. You can listen. But anyway, it's going to be a great day, PJ, here in the Word of God. And, you know, I never, ever dread coming to the radio show every Sunday, although we're in our seventh year. It is a joy and a delight, and it just is fun to talk about the Word of God and share the Word of God with our listeners. Isn't it great?
Oh, I love doing it. I love talking about the Word of God and the things that God's doing
right
in our lives. And, you know, it's a nice way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
Isn't it? And look at you and I, unintentionally, we have our Beacon of Hope new shirts on.
Our Christmas shirts.
They're Christmas. He's green, I'm red. So we have our Christmas shirts on together today. Isn't that cool? That's so sweet. So anyway, there's just so much that God is doing. It's just amazing, and I forgot to turn my cell phone down, so you just all figured that out.
That's a great ringtone, though.
Isn't it great?
I like it.
It's the beach. It's seagulls and if you're on the beach, then you never hear your phone ring because you just think it's the beach.
Well, you know? And the first time I heard that ringtone, all I could think of was the birds.
Right. It's a great ringtone. But anyway, so we welcome you to Living the Good Life today. And we're excited about what God's going to do. And, you know, this whole book of John, which is written by one of the disciples, John, who was really the closest to Jesus. James was his brother. James and John, Jesus called them sons of thunder because they were wild guys, you
mm-hmm.
know. How do you pronounce the Greek word?
Boanerges.
Boanerges. And that's who they were, the Boanerges boys. And anyway, they were just sons of thunder because they were so, like, passionate about the gospel, you know? And PJ, doesn't it just make you want to be that kind of passionate about the Word of God?
Very much so. And I think, you know, and John's life is such a good lesson because, you know, we can have zeal.
Yes.
And sometimes you know, there was one time where James and John let their zeal get out of hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in Proverbs. I don't remember the exact scripture, but in the New American Standard, it says zeal without knowledge is not good.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's kind of what they had with the Samaritans when the right. Samaritans they weren't very welcoming to Jesus. And they said, ooh, how about if we call fire down from heaven?
Yeah, let's just kill them all.
Just like Elijah.
Yeah.
You know, let's just get rid of them. You know, and they had that zeal.
Yeah.
You know, because they took it as an affront, as a kind of a personal affront. These people are not listening.
Right.
To God. And, you know, how dare they?
Right.
And, you know, and that's an okay, you know, it's okay to, how can you not listen to God?
Right.
You know, but they
But
kind
see,
of,
I love that about John, because he wrote the Gospel John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Revelation, the same John. And he is so passionate about the heart of God, which we're going to get into today in chapter 4. You know, what is the true nature of our Father God? And this is just going to bless you, listening audience. You got to call a friend and tell them to join in today. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can actually catch it on the internet and our show's live. www.tantalk1340.com, and you can join us that way and actually see us by video and see our Christmas shirts in here and all that. So you can do that. And if you miss one of our shows, isn't that wonderful that what Cedric does for us every week? We love our engineer. And he's so cute, but he's engaged, girls. He's engaged. But I'll tell you what, he is so cute. But he manages to record the shows and again get them sent to me by email every weekend, and then we get them on our website. And so people can listen, go back if you miss a show or two or 10 or 12.
Right, and I love what you say, Pastor. You know, if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like wide awake, come and listen, you know, go to the website. You can listen to the broadcast. We've got hundreds now.
We have a huge website, so and, great big, you know, server.
You can listen, and I believe they're listening. You know, you can kind of see what the topic was and all that. So, you know, maybe look through and see if there's anything that kind of strikes your fancy,
right?
And you can sit and listen to it and just hear the anointed word of God.
And it's always anointed, and I thank God for that. And that is it's not a pat on our back. It's just that we surrender to God. You, me, all the rest of our radio team, every weekend, we just say, God, whatever you want done on this show. We have a general idea where we're going. Like, we know today we're going into 1 John 4, but it's, we let God.
But who knows where we'll end up?
Yeah, who knows where we'll end up?
It's in God's hands.
Absolutely. So let's play this first song. Today is the name of it, by New World Sun.
Light of the world, hope for all men, you never let me down. I can't believe you call me your friend, it's turned my whole life around. But still it's hard to let go of the wheel, no one ever showed me how. Time you can take the lead, and I won't try to pull you by the sleeve, because every time I think that I know better, I lose my way. So God, what you wanna do today? You are the King of heaven and earth, of creation bows. I give you my heart for all that it's worth, I'm at your service now. But I always wanna guess just what you need, trying to honor my vow. Maybe this time you can take the lead, try to pull you by the sleeve, because every time I think that I know better, I lose my way. So God, what you wanna do today? Maybe we will spend
God, why don't you do that? And we declare that right now for this show. I love it. What are you going to do today? Lord, we just come before you right now in agreement. PJ and I, we are believing you for what you want done today on this show. Lord, let it be anointed as we know it will, full of the Word of God. And Lord, just direct our conversation, direct what we teach these wonderful listeners. And Lord, we want to be so full of you and so in line with your perfect will for this show that everything happens exactly the way you want it to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I love that. And that song, that's just, I love the lyric, you know, the melody of that song. So what are you going to do today, Lord? What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, PJ, I really believe we need to start our day that way. You know, I'm trying to do that more each day, you know, and the first when I'm waking up, you know, my dogs are waking up and Bailey starts his all body scratch, my little doggy, about 10 after 6 every morning. And I'm hearing that and I'm trying to wake up. You know, I'm really trying my best to say, wait a minute, God, what are we going to do today? What are you going to do? And please, Lord, here's my desire in my heart. I want to fall in line with your perfect will for my life, you know?
10 after 6, I'm already in the shower I'm already reading my Bible before I go to work.
So I think 10 after 6 is early, and
oh,
you know.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you probably already had your dog out.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we need to be asking that question. God, what are we going to do today? What are we going to accomplish for your kingdom?
What do you want us to do? Not me.
Right.
Because, you know, sometimes we try and do too much on our own for God.
Right.
And without him, I mean, we're not abiding in the vine, as Jesus said in the book of John.
Right.
You know, we have to just kind of rest in God. And you're right. You're absolutely right, Pastor. What are we?
Yeah.
What are we, the two of us, God, you know, me and God in covenant relationship? What are we going to do today?
Exactly.
You know, where are you going to lead me?
Right.
What do you need me, you know? What do you have for me? But what are we going to accomplish?
What are we going to do? And, you know, that's something you can get passionate about. Knowing that the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the creator of us, each of us individually, the God that sees ahead, makes provision for every need, the God that knows everything, you know, that's going to happen and our past, but yet forgives us entirely.
And knows everything in the future and still forgives us.
And still forgives us. All of that. We are passionate about him and our relationship with him. And when we start our day that way, passionate and saying, okay, God, what kind of a love walk are we going to be in today? You know?
What love adventure do you have for me?
Love adventure. And that is so cool because we're in 1 John chapter 4. And so let's go there. Let's go to 1 John 4 and let's see what God is saying to us today. And starting in the first verse, and this is the Message Bible, and you can read it in other translations, PJ, but John says this, my dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. I think that is very important. Don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world. Boy, isn't that the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And not just preachers. I think that word is translated in some of the others as spirits.
Yeah.
So people. There are a lot of liars around, you know. And John says, hey, carefully examine and weigh what people tell you to do or tell you. Mm-hmm. And why is that so important, Pastor Jim?
Well, because we can be misled. We can be deceived. And I like this. It says, you know, don't believe everyone who says they're speaking, you know, by the Spirit.
Right.
Because, you know, not everybody, you know, but test them to see if it really comes from God. Because right. There's many false prophets in
yes.
the world.
Yes. Anybody, and there are.
Yeah. And, you know, anybody can say, oh, I had a vision. I had a dream. I had a word from God. But John says, don't, just because somebody says that.
Right.
We don't have to just swallow it hook, line, and sinker.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of, I mean, you and I have been in the charismatic movement for 30 years, we know, 40 years almost. Well, 40
right.
years, yeah.
Yeah, a long
and
time.
There's been a lot of craziness.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because, you know, that's why John says test the spirits.
Yes.
You know, the Bible sets out different tests if somebody has a word. And Paul says, you know, we're to judge. We, you know, one of the things we get to judge are people's, when people say they have a word from God, Paul says, judge it. See if it
right.
stacks up
yes.
against the full revelation of God.
Absolutely.
Because anybody could walk in and say, ooh, I had a dream, I had a dream, I had a vision.
Well, I've been a victim of this, and I know you have too, in our past many years ago, where people said, God told me. And then they go off on some crazy tangent, or where it's just really a deception of the enemy, that they weren't hearing from God at all. They were hearing from the devil. And I find it very interesting that John starts chapter 4 here saying, carefully weigh and examine what people tell you, because it's got to line up with the content and the general theme of the Bible and of God's nature.
Exactly.
You know, so many people are they're just out to rain hail and brimstone down on people's heads all the time because they think, oh, God's mad, he's angry, he's vengeful, he's this, he's that, you know?
Well, and I had a personal prophecy given over me. This was over 33 years ago that the prophecy
when
was...
When you were but a wee lad.
When I was but a wee lad.
Yeah.
The prophecy was that if I didn't change some things...
Right.
And I won't go into detail about what I was supposed to change, but if I didn't change some things, I'd be dead.
You'd be dead.
That was it. I mean, that was it. I was going to die.
Die.
33 years later, I'm still here.
Exactly.
And,
right.
You know, because I... At that point in time, I took that to be truth, but I later found out it wasn't.
And sometimes we do, a lot of times through immaturity
mm-hmm.
and not maybe having some good spiritual mentors in our life that we can take that word to and say, what do you think about this?
Right.
And I've had a lot of people through the years, PJ, come to me and say, here, somebody spoke this over me and it was recorded and I wrote it down. Is this God? Is this from God? And there are some tests, and we're going to talk about these in chapter 4.
Right. And, you know, there's a test of, does it stack up with the word?
Yes.
Does the spirit that's saying it, and, you know, go by what John says here, there's John's test. And does it give you peace?
Exactly. Let peace be your umpire. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, it's baseball season, and so I just love baseball. But and so I love the way the Amplified Bible translates Colossians 3:15. Let peace be your umpire, settling with all finality all the issues that concern you, you know? So peace is one of the big, big indicators on whether or not something that somebody prophesies over you or speaks to you says, oh, God said for me to tell you this.
Yeah, because, I mean, people can say, oh, God told me to give you thus and such scripture. And, I mean, that's right out of the word. So what are you going to do? But, you know, as people can be
sometimes,
motivated,
yeah.
You know.
Sometimes they want to send a message to you, and I've had this happen, and I know you have too, that they want to dig at you or berate you or correct you or rebuke you. And the way they do it is by doing that that tactic of they find a scripture that says, you know, like with you, limited time to live or whatever, if you don't do this, you know, and then they say, this is from God. And I think John is, they must have had a lot of this going on, PJ, in the early church. People were not hearing correctly from God.
Right. Well, and John faced a very specific issue with this, because I mean, the test that he gives in the next verse is test the spirits. If the spirit says that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, then that's of God. If not, it's the Antichrist. It's the one who tries to set himself up in place of Christ. And, you know, there was this false teaching back then that Jesus suddenly appeared at age 33.
Right.
No, he just appeared to be as a man. He wasn't right. really human, didn't really come in the flesh. He was just sort of some ghostly figure that hung right. around for 3 years and taught. And John said, no.
No.
That's not the truth.
That's not the truth. That's not the gospel. But today we have people that say, oh, yeah, we acknowledge Jesus was a good guy in history. He was a teacher. Yeah, he was well known in you know, that area of the world for a short period of time. But we don't acknowledge him as Christ the Messiah, you know. And that's a big, huge difference. I mean, some people will acknowledge him as a teacher, but not as the teacher and not as the Messiah, you know, mm-hmm. not as God Almighty, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, that's another test.
It's another test.
You know, and it, John says that, you know, and I, and not to get legalistic about that.
Right.
But, you know, John says here, there's going to be truth, there's going to be error. And you can't mix the two. You mix a little bit of error in with truth, you've got error. You don't have truth anymore. You've got error.
Absolutely.
And John says, here's some absolutes.
Yes.
You know, that you can judge this by.
And the first one that we're talking about here is Jesus Christ. Did he come in the flesh? Do you, you know, I am very careful now, and I know you are too, about just receiving something that somebody says God said, right? Because a lot of times people will cover up and they will say, oh, yeah, they believe in God. Yeah, 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 I'm saved. I believe in God, da, da, da. But he says very specifically here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In the New Living Translation.
Yeah, what's it say? What
it
verse
says,
are you on?
I almost need my glasses here. Verse 2.
Well, you can put them on.
This
we'll
is how
you.
We know if they have a spirit, if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God.
Ooh, okay.
But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. That person has the spirit of the Antichrist, whom you have heard is coming and into the world and is indeed already here.
Recently, one of our people said to me that a friend of hers stopped by her house and they were chatting. And the more they chatted, this lady kind of exposed what she really believes. And she said something about, yeah, you're into the scripture and Jesus and all that. She says, but you know, our church, and I won't name what church it was, but it is pretty common around this area, believes that we're all gods. We are all God, you know. And my friend said, well, we all have God in us if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Oh, no, no, no. You don't need to do that because we are all gods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that lie's been around since the
Hasn't
garden.
Hasn't it? Hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that was the first lie.
Right.
You know, and I love it. I like you. I like snappy titles for some of my sermons. And
right.
I did preach this back in Chicago. New Age or Old Lie.
Very good. I
because,
like that.
Because, you know, this is the same lie Satan told
yes.
Eve.
Yes.
No, you won't die. You'll, you know, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God.
Like God.
And, you know, that lie has been around since then. People.
Good point.
People want to be, you know, because we're fallen, we want to be rulers. We want to be the God of our own life. And Satan just kind of says, okay, you're all gods.
Yes.
You know, you're all.
You don't need
you
the
don't need
God.
Jesus. There's
no,
no, there's
you don't
no
need
such
Jesus.
Thing as sin.
Right.
You don't need Jesus. I mean, after all, you have the you have the Christ consciousness living within you.
Right.
Oh, please.
Right.
You know.
But that is this whole lie of the devil that's been going around for a long time.
Oh,
that,
forever.
That we are, oh, it's all about me. It's all about us. It's me-centered. We're living a me-centered culture now, big time, more than ever, I think.
Right. And that all, again, started in the garden.
Right.
It's all, you know, we think God cheated us. I mean, you know, Satan first said, the serpent first told Eve, Well, did God really say that, like, that you couldn't eat any of the fruit?
Yeah, you thinking sure like, that's what he said?
Well, and it's like, you know, what a mean God to tell you you couldn't eat any fruit. And that knocked Eve so far off balance, she just started making up scripture. You know,
right.
She added to God's command.
Right.
And then he said, oh, really? Well, you know, because Eve said, well, we can eat of it, but we can't eat or touch the fruit in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, it's funny, you know, because then Satan just, he's got Eve spinning so far.
Right.
He just comes out and just blowing, says, no, you won't die.
Right.
No, you won't. No, you won't.
Again, a lie right there is told to Eve. First, the question, the suggestion, you know, did he really say that? The suggestion. The devil still, he has no new tricks, BJ.
Right.
He does
God's
these
goodness.
Same things. He questions God's character over again, mm-hmm. over and over again. God's wisdom, his goodness, his love, all of that.
And once he gets you off balance, then,
right.
he'll just flat out contradict the word.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is exactly what he did.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's and what's really funny, what's always irked me about that story.
Right.
Is when I realized who was standing next to Eve this whole time but her husband, and he kept his mouth shut.
Right.
You know, Adam didn't say a word, because it says, you know, Eve had this conversation with the serpent. Adam just, what was he, mute? And didn't say a word, and then Eve tastes of the fruit.
Right.
And the scripture says, then she handed it to Adam, who was there with her.
Right.
It's not like she went running off. She didn't have to run off to find him.
Yeah, he's right there.
He was standing there the whole time. You know, people blame Eve. Adam could have just told the serpent to shut up and go away.
Right. But he had no backbone.
Right.
And I think that we see this in ministry a lot, that people, let's say in a relationship, a partnership, a marriage, whatever, one person may be dominant to the point that the other person is really held down from what they really believe, and so they don't speak up,
right.
and they don't speak out for themselves. Instead, they take that abuse, and they don't say, wait a minute, that's ridiculous, you know? By the way, we have email up right now, and I think some of you may want to engage in conversation with us about this whole thing. pastor@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. pastor@bohmglobal.com if you'd like to do that. So we are in 1 John chapter 4, and he's talking very specifically about the fact that we have got to declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he came in the flesh. And at other places he talks about we've got to to realize that Jesus is God. He's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. We can't just say he was a good guy, he's a prophet, whatever. And I mentioned this morning in my sermon. It drives me crazy, PJ, when people call God the universe. It really, really irks me, because the universe to me is the globe up there. You know, it's the atmosphere. It's all of that. And, you know, it's almost like they're afraid to say Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Well, you know, and some people even use the term God kind of generically. That keeps God at a distance, keeps him at arm's length. But if you say, you know what, for God so loved me
right.
that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, the Messiah,
right,
so that I could have eternal life, that takes, I mean, that's personal. That gets,
amen.
That gets under my skin.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that means there's that brings me some obligations.
Yes.
And people don't want to have obligations. I mean, you know, if I talk about God in a personal way and I have a personal relationship with him, there's going to be some things he expects of me. I mean, there's
right.
all sorts of wonderful promises I can access. But as you pointed out this morning, a lot of them are if,
right,
then.
Right.
If you do this, then this is going to happen.
Right.
The one you pointed out this morning, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will.
Yeah.
And it'll be done for you.
It's just
that wasn't what the one you used, but that's okay.
That's
a good example.
That's a great example, though.
But I mean, it means if we keep God impersonal, then I don't have to deal with him. I don't have to deal with him or his love. And some people find that very frightening. Some people don't know how to accept love.
Right.
You
exactly.
I mean, it's hard to accept unconditional love.
Oh, it is. It's hard to understand it.
Exactly. We've grown up needing to to prove our love, or to prove that we're lovable.
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of people...
prove that we deserve somebody's love. And God says, there's nothing you can do to deserve it.
Woo!
There's nothing you can do. He just loves us unconditionally. But again, that's very frightening. And to enter into a relationship with God through Jesus means, oh, wow, some things, I may have to change some things.
Right.
So if I use the universe or an impersonal God, you know, out there, whatever, I don't have to.
With whom we have to do, right?
Yeah, I don't have to do anything then.
But we do have to deal with him.
Oh, exactly.
We do. And if we don't do it now on this earth, okay, we will do it in eternity. We will. You and I talked last Wednesday night about the second coming of Jesus and how it's all going to be. We will be judged by, did you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Oh, well, you know, I wasn't sure if that was really right or really true. And, well, you know, I was really busy, God. You know, I had a lot of video games to play. And you know, I had a lot of life. Nothing wrong with video games. But where's your priorities?
Right.
Okay.
Well, and you know, individually, we will be judged on what we did with our knowledge of the gospel.
Amen.
You know, it. Cold, hard fact that may be. If somebody's heard the gospel and they reject it, they've sent themselves to eternal separation with God, to hell.
Right.
It's not that God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent Jesus.
Right.
What would have been the purpose? You know, again, God's, and somebody out there must be needing to hear this.
God
so loved the world,
John 3:16,
that he gave his only begotten son. So that we can have life, not judgment. He says, you know, for Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world, but that the world might have life.
Exactly.
And, you know, some people just, that's such a hard concept to grasp, that God loved us enough.
Right.
To take on our flesh, our infirmities, our frailties.
Right.
Loved us enough to give up all his, Jesus gave up all his divine imperatives, took up a cross and died the worst death possible. And, you know, he had to, and he actually had, you know, I was reading a book, an old book by Jim McKeever about overcoming, and one I found in a used bookstore. You know, it's written like 30 years ago, but he made a really good point. He said, you know, in reality, Jesus had to trust God's promise that he was going to get resurrected.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, he went to the cross, but he had to know that God was going to be behind that promise to resurrect him. Yes,
and,
good point.
You know, it's think about the immeasurable love that God has, that God is.
Right.
In that we can't do anything.
Right.
There's nothing I can do to work my way into God's good grace.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing but accept Jesus.
Nothing but accept Jesus.
That's right, as your Lord and Savior.
That's the only thing. And if, you know, maybe there's somebody listening today that you just need to know God loves you.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you've done.
Right.
It doesn't matter how bad you think you are.
Right.
Jesus already died for those sins.
Praise God. Praise God.
Paul wrote that God in Jesus reconciled, put away all the differences through the blood of Jesus. And, you know, Kenneth Copeland says it's God's not mad at you anymore.
Right.
It doesn't matter. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I accept you as my Lord, my Savior. I believe you rose from the dead. And
amen.
I want you in my life.
Woo, praise God.
And that's all it takes.
And somebody out there may need to do that right now. And that really goes back to Romans 10:9-10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
If we say Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved.
You're passionate about this, PJ.
I am so passionate about
that. But, you know,
that.
We started the show talking about being passionate. And I believe that John, that wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the Gospel of John, Revelation, was an extremely passionate man about who God was. He understood it. God is love.
He had such a heart
Yeah.
For God, like David.
Right.
But I was kind of thinking, you know, here's John.
Yeah.
Possibly the youngest of the disciples. You know, he was next to Jesus at the Last Supper.
Yes.
Leaned on Jesus' breast. Now, that's intimate.
That's
like, man.
That's close.
They were close.
Yes.
They were tight.
Yes.
You know, they had a bromance going on.
There you go.
You know, to use terms today.
Yeah.
You know, they really had
that connection between them.
And I believe, you know, Jesus did teach all the disciples all the same things. And yet, John had that personal relationship with Jesus, probably more so than even Peter. You know, Peter was, Peter, James, and John were the three that Jesus took with him whenever there was something special going on.
Right.
And, you know, but John, he knew Jesus' heart. More so than Peter.
Amen.
John seemed to know Jesus' heart.
Absolutely.
More than any of the other apostles.
And he reveals it to us in his writings in the Gospel of John, where John is the only one of the writers of the four Gospels that really emphasizes Jesus showing us his character. Where in the Gospel of John, he really emphasizes where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. You know, I am the vine. All of those things I'm the light of the world. All seven of those. Mm-hmm. He expresses that in the book of John. Now, a few years later, he's writing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he is showing us again the continuity. It's right there. It's all the nature of God. You're passionate about it. I'm passionate about it. John is passionate about the nature of God. And he says we haven't gotten there yet, but we can skip down there. 1 John 4:8. Yeah. I mean, read them. In whatever translation
I could almost sing them. I remember the old song.
Yeah.
Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
God is love. God is love. That's the essence right there. If you needed to know anything about the nature of God, John, who was the most intimate with him, the closest to him, says God is love.
Mm-hmm.
That's his nature. John is also the one who wrote the words that Jesus spoke and read in our Bibles in John 3:16 that you just quoted, that I think we quote almost every show, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved and gave.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
And here's John just passionately saying, you know, you got to love each other, but you got to understand that love comes from God.
Right.
God's the one that gives us the ability to love even the unlovely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's, continuing on, I know we're skipping ahead.
Doesn't matter.
These are so good. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him.
Amen.
This is real love.
Yeah.
Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as the sacrifice. The Greek word there is propitiation.
Right.
To take away our sins. He's the sacrifice that takes away our sins. God showed his love.
Yes.
To us. He showed not just how much he loves us, but the nature of that love. That God's love is sacrificial.
It's sacrificial.
It means I give up for you because I love you.
So here we are on this show today, and we're passionate. It comes through in our voices. We don't put this on. We believe what we say, right? We're passionate about the nature of God. We are passionate about getting the message out. I mean, we've been doing this radio show for 7 years almost, and every week God has provided the money for the show every single week before we even come in here to record. We put the check in there. And because, why are we doing this? Could we be doing something else? Oh, we could go to the beach. We could go to, you know, a movie. We could do this. We could do that. But we do this because we have a message to deliver with passion.
Amen.
Okay, because we are convinced. I mean, the person who sat in my friend's living room and said, you know, we're all gods and da-da-da. And my friend spoke up and said, no, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. and you accept him into your heart, and he becomes your Lord and Savior. She said it wasn't even 2 minutes later, the lady got up and said, I got to go somewhere. I got to go. Got to leave. People don't want to hear it. Some people do not want to hear the truth of who God is.
Right. And the silliest thing is, so many times we put up all these, barriers to knowing God.
Right.
I mean, you know, and I'll pick on New Age because I like picking on New Age. But so much of it is like Hindu based and all that all that series of reincarnations.
Right.
What foolishness.
Yes.
Hebrews 9. It's appointed to all men to die once and thereafter the judgment.
Right.
We don't have to.
It doesn't say you're going
to
come back as a cow or a bumblebee or something like that.
We don't have to go through this endless series of reincarnations to get good enough to go to heaven.
Amen.
All we have to do is accept Jesus. Woo! I mean, that's just foolishness.
Praise God.
You know, or sometimes we say, well, you have to convert X number of sinners before you can go to heaven. No.
You're passionate about this,
PJ. I am so passionate.
Listen to this song. I love it. Your love is extravagant by Casting Crowns. It couldn't be more appropriate. Perfect timing.
Extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. Your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever. Capture my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship. Fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place, and your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is a love that covers sin. Friendship is
love that.
Oh, what a great song.
What a great song. And perfect timing right there in our discussion. If you just joined us, it's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And God's love is so extravagant. And we're talking about it in 1 John 4. And John, the guy that was the closest to Jesus on this earth, he understood the nature of Jesus and the nature of God the Father. And he says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. God is love. He does not say God is judgment. He's mad at you. He's going to make you pay. You know, I love that old course we used to do at my church in Indiana. He paid a debt.
He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Yeah.
Off key. Sorry about that. But
then I sing a brand new song.
Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
He did it willingly. He went to the cross willingly. His love was extravagant. You know, I mean, how extravagant to provide a way for us to not wallow any longer in our old sin, mm-hmm. our despair, our anger, our frustration, our anxiety, our fear. You say, wait a minute, are those things sin? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Your doubt, your depression, the things that keep you from being alive in right. God, those things are sin, and you got to deal with them. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I think a lot of people think of sin as those overt acts, you know, lust, murder, you know,
blasphemy. And those are.
And they are, plain, you know, pure and simple. But sometimes, you know, we don't think about anxiety.
Right.
You know, worry is a sin.
Well.
Because it's, you know, James said, whatever is not of faith.
That's it, right there. That's it. That's verse.
And worry and fear and doubt are not of faith.
Whatever is not of faith is sin. So when we walk around with all those things weighing us down, and we are not resisting the devil, which James 4:7 says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Mm-hmm. But if we're not resisting and we are just taking all that, what we lovingly call a Beacon of Hope as crappe, upon us, that's the French name for crap.
Of course.
Yes. And so when we are taking all of that the devil throws at us, and we're going to go to John 8 here in a minute, and Megan sent a great email, and I don't know, maybe we'll wait until the next hour for it, because I think that right here we need to go into John chapter 8 and talk about what Jesus said. Go back, flip left in your Bible to the Gospel of John, written by the same guy. John chapter 8, and starting with about 31, Jesus gets into a big discussion, and I taught on this morning at Beacon, so I won't go verse by verse, but Jesus gets into a big discussion with the religious people of the day, and, you know, he says, and this is this is what got him so upset. In verse 31, Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. That's the key word right there, claim to have. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then, there's the if then, that was it right there. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Now they get all upset because Jesus has inferred that they are slaves to something. We are slaves to anxiety. We can be slaves to prescription pills. We can be slaves to drug addiction, to alcoholism. We can be slaves to egotistical behavior, pride, anger, rage, violence, all those things we can be slaves to. And Jesus implies here, wait a minute, the truth sets you free. And they go, wait a minute, we're descendants of Abraham. We don't need to be free of anything.
Right.
And he says, wait a minute. Okay. And he makes it very clear that we are and all can be slaves to all kinds of things, which, of course, brings me to one of my favorite verses. If Nan were here, she'll be here next week, but she would be saying, that's one of your favorite verses. Isaiah 51:14, the one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. I love that verse, Isaiah 51:14. The one in chains. Guys, that's all of us. If we aren't right now in chains, we have been. The one in chains will soon be set free. So here's the good news that comes from Jesus in John chapter 8, that if you find the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. And the truth is that God's word has made a way. We have a way to come out of all that junk, that crap A I just mentioned. Talk to me about this, PJ.
Well, yeah. And
why I come up for air here.
That's okay. Yeah, Jesus, I mean, and of course, the religious leaders at that time thought they had it in with God.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus, you're right, absolutely right. He inferred that they weren't free.
Right.
That they were slaves.
They were all bound up.
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, basically they were kind of bound.
Right.
But and of course, they pulled, well, we're the descendants of Abraham.
Oh, yes, yes.
And yet, you know, we do that same sort of thing, you know.
Oh, I'm a Christian.
I'm a Christian.
I go to church two times a week, right. You know. I read my Bible once every 6 months.
And
yeah.
I've not been enslaved to anything. Well, yeah, okay, whatever. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins
right.
is a slave to sin.
If you're
constantly caught up in worry, that's a sin.
That's
you're
a sin.
Slave to it.
Yes.
Anxiety, whatever it happens, lust, whatever it happens to be, you're a slave to that. But Jesus, I love the comparison he made, and I finally think I understood it just recently. He says, you know, a slave doesn't always stay in the house. They're not a permanent member of the household. A son is in the family forever.
True.
And then he says, if the son sets you free, then you're free indeed. Because it's not like... I realize how, you know, Jesus was looking at a household that had servants, had slaves, not
right.
servants, but slaves. And the son, who had the same authority as the father, could free the slaves.
Right.
And say, okay, you know, you're free. You're free. And that's why he says that here. If the son sets you free, you're free indeed, because the son is always a member of the family.
Exactly.
And it's like, wow, okay.
And doesn't he call us sons?
Yes.
He does. We are engrafted. We're adopted into the family, you know. And we're a part of that family by reason of our decision, you know, to accept Jesus into our hearts. Oh, this is so good. And so they argue with him. Wait a minute. Abraham is our father. You're wrong about this, you know. And then in verse, I think it's 42, Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and arrived here. I didn't come on my own. He sent me. Why can't you understand one word I say? Now, this is very clear. Jesus is in God. He's God's son. God the Father sent Jesus to this earth to come and die for us. And he said, if you were really, really listening to your Heavenly Father, you really had a heart after God, you would bear witness with me that I am the Son of the living God.
You'd believe
the Messiah.
I am who I say I am.
Right. And this proved that they didn't. And I think this is a wonderful litmus test, if you will, of people who say, oh, yeah, I go to church. Yeah. Oh, I know God. Yeah, I know God. Well, how's your relationship with Jesus?
That's a good clue something's missing.
Right. Because, you know, there's an old chorus we used to sing at Cornerstone all the time. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. As we really develop our relationship with Jesus, we fall in love with him,
right.
Jim. You know, I mean, I know there are people who say, wait, falling in love? There's a difference between loving somebody. We could go to John 21 and talking about the kinds of love that Jesus said. You can filio love somebody. That's the Greek word for friendship love, Philadelphia, brotherly love. And Jesus asked Peter on the beach that day in John 21, do you agape me? The Greek word for, are you like?
Unconditionally
devoted to me?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter responded there, well, I filio you. Yeah, I filio you. You know, at least he was honest.
Right.
And he said, oh yeah, I brotherly love you. You know, go on with that.
Well, and finally, the last time Jesus changed the word he used.
He did. He accepted him where he was.
But it says Peter was grieved.
Yes, because Peter realized.
Peter realized that maybe his love wasn't where it needed, where it should have been. And that's okay, because what did Jesus do? He didn't upbraid him. He didn't rebuke him or anything.
Right.
He just kept feeding my sheep.
Yeah, feed my sheep.
Take care of my lambs. Feed my sheep.
He accepts us right where we are.
Right.
PJ, I can get passionate about that. A God that loves me, no matter how much I mess up, how many times I get into anxiety or fear of the future or wondering, you know, how am I going to straighten this mess out or whatever the case may be, God still loves me where I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to become quicker, I guess, to recognize when I get off into that path. I mean, sin is a selfish decision that hurts God.
Right. And I like that I don't like it, but I mean, the phrase is good, that it hurts God.
It hurts God when we get that way.
You know, Scripture says, I think it's in Ezekiel, I was grieved.
Yeah.
By their sins. Ooh. You know, it's like, He feels it.
Yeah.
You know, God hurts when we ignore Him, when we sin, no matter what the sin is, it still hurts God.
Oh, it does.
Because it blocks our relationship.
It blocks our relationship. It messes up our relationship. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got so much more to talk about in the next hour. I'm glad we have another hour. But actually, we need two or three more. But we'll take the one more coming up here in just a moment. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are a global ministry. We have a prayer ministry that's amazing. PJ, I love it. You and Carol in Georgia, you're so good about getting those requests out. We get requests from everywhere, all over, sometimes different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. People asking us to pray, put their request on our prayer line, and I'll tell you, the praise reports that come are just, they're crazy wonderful. They're crazy wonderful.
Amen.
Because God is healing bodies. God is raising people up from sick beds. I remember the day my good friend Dainty in Newcastle had a stroke, and she, all of a sudden, during our show, we'd been praying for her, during the show that day, we got phone message with a picture of her raising her leg for the first time, you know, and we have seen, she's now walking and talking fine. We totally healed. We have seen God's amazing power in our lives and in the lives of our friends and our family members. Amen. And our children and our grandchildren and even in our great grandchildren.
Amen.
Right. Who are about to be born. And even there, that's a huge praise report. So we ask you all to send your requests into prayers@bohmglobal.com. bohmglobal.com. And what will happen when you get that request?
Well, when we get the requests, Carol or I will, you know, get them ready to send out. We will both add a prayer, because right. We're strong believers in being unified, being on the same page, as it were, with our prayers, that we all be in agreement. So we type up, you know, have the request, type up a prayer, and then send it out to everybody on our prayer list. And if it's somebody outside of our prayer list, you know, we'll send it back to them also, so that they know that we're praying.
Right.
And, you know, when the answer comes, send us back a praise report, because I keep
Amen.
Track of those. I save those. And
you do.
Special
yeah.
file in my computer.
Wow. So we want you to use that, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and send us the praise reports. And you can be a part of the prayer team. We don't care
right.
where you are, what church you go to. It doesn't matter. You can be a part of this prayer team. And all you do is write an email again, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and we'll put you on the prayer team. Let's listen to station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. So welcome to each of you listening today in the Tampa Bay area on all those stations. And welcome to our listeners who listen by the internet, which is tantalk1340.com, which goes around the globe. And if you miss a show or want to catch up on or hear one again, the shows are usually on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, by the next day, Monday or Tuesday of each week. And they stay on there until Jesus comes.
Right.
So we've got this huge server full of shows. So we welcome you to go and tell people about it. And our website, again, is beaconofhopeministries. It ends in IES. .com. And it tells, we just revamped it in February, and it's great, isn't it? It's really,
it's a great website.
It's a great website. Go and become acquainted with the ministry at Beacon of Hope. We began almost 12 years ago, and me and a bunch of people began the ministry, and PJ, you joined us in 08, I believe. And I thank God for you, and you became my associate pastor a couple years later. And I just thank God for you. You're just such a blessing, and always a joy to have you as part of this radio team. When I'm gone, sometimes I have to go to Indiana to visit kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and all that. And you host the show, and you're great at it. Speaking of that, this is an answer to prayer, because at 23 weeks pregnant, my granddaughter was told that she was going to lose the babies. And she's carrying identical twin baby daughters right now. And we all went into intense prayer. This is a perfect example. And Rylan agreed, my granddaughter agreed with us in prayer, and of course my son Ryan and the whole family, and we all believe God that these babies would not be born at that point, because they would not have had a survival rate.
And here it is.
And here we are today. She is 33 weeks and 4 days, and approaching week number 34, the doctor told her on Thursday she is totally out of the woods. The babies are out of the woods. They are over 4 pounds each, baby A and baby B. And my identical twin great-granddaughters are going to be born any day now, probably same day as the royal baby, because they're our royal babies.
That's right.
So, anyway, another huge answer to prayer. And I just texted earlier before the show with my granddaughter. She's having a good day. She's very small. She was a gymnast and a cheerleading and athlete. So she's not a big girl. She's small, and she's carrying these huge babies. So just pray for her out there in Radio Land that these babies are going to be born soon, very healthy, which we know they will. And that's a huge thanks to God. Let's listen to this song, Love. I love this song. PJ, we did it this morning at Beacon of Hope. Mm-hmm. We did it live. Hillsong recorded this song, one of my favorites. William, my dear friend, if you're out there listening today, this is your favorite song. This is for you. Jesus, lover of my soul.
From the mountain.
love that song.
Me too.
Jesus, lover of my soul. He loves you so much, listening audience. He cares about every detail of your life. And we're passionate about the story of Jesus. And we're in 1 John chapter 4, if you're just joining us. And, you know, this whole passion for Jesus has to carry over in our everyday lives. It's got to be such a thing that it ekes out of us. You know, recently I had a client, I'm a realtor too, besides pastoring. And I had a client who, when I met him, I thought, oh, wow, what is that I smell? And it was garlic. And the guy takes a lot of garlic, you know, but it was eking out of his pores. And he goes, oh, yeah, I take amount of garlic. I'm going, wow, I can tell, you know. It just was like, whoa, filling the room, the smell of garlic. Now, guys, that's a bad example, but here's the best thing. We got to be so full of Jesus, PJ, that it just ekes out of us and people right. smell Jesus. They feel Jesus. They touch Jesus.
What is it Paul says in 2 Corinthians? We're the fragrance of God.
Amen.
You know, we, you're right. We need to display Jesus
right.
to the world. And
right.
kind of like what Megan
Let's
wrote
hear
in
what
email.
Megan said. Megan was on, she's one of our radio contributors, was on the show last week. And I think the week before. I know she was. Yeah. And what'd she say here in this discussion? Well,
in the email, it said, how many of us as teenagers want more responsibility so we can be adults? How many of us as Christians have a responsibility as just that, Christians?
Right.
To not pass judgment upon others, not to cast a stone. For those without sin, be the first to cast a stone. We all have sinned at one point in our life, or in some cases, more than one.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus died to forgive us and set us free from the shackles that bind us. It's time for us to take our responsibility seriously and start living our lives for God and stop worrying about what everyone else thinks, what everyone else has. We have the greatest gift, eternal life with our Lord and Savior. It's time we step out in faith, love, and hope and live this life and show Satan who's won the victory.
Excellent. Thank you, Megan, for sending that. You know, that's exactly right. When we develop that passion for God and that love for Jesus, and I mean, we are like, okay, you know, this is what I believe. It does just eke out it to everybody around us. If it's false, going back to John chapter 8 here, where we were, and Jesus is saying, we got to begin to learn to understand what is the devil and what is God,
right?
You know? And he says the devil is a liar and has been from the beginning. You know, in fact, he uses the Greek word diabolos, which somebody said to me, I wrote it on the board today after church, and they said, have you noticed that word diabolic comes from
diabolical.
That?
Sure.
Diabolical comes from that. Diabolos means, and in Spanish, devil is diablo, but it means slanderer, accuser, the one who deceives us, right. and all of that. That's the work of the devil all the time.
Oh, exactly. And it goes back to, jumping back to 1 John chapter 4.
Let's go back there.
Verse 4, I know it's one of your favorite verses.
It is, 1 John 4:4. Yes, it is.
Know, but you belong to God, dear children, and you've already won a victory over those people, referring to the people, the false prophets.
Right.
Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world.
Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
But, you know, we have won the victory, and I think...
Yes.
You know, sometimes... We're fearful of, you know, what Satan throws at us. We're
right.
fearful of Satan or whatever. And we don't have to be. We've already overcome.
Absolutely.
Because greater is the one, the spirit who lives in us.
Yes.
Than any of these spirits running around in the world. The greater one lives in us.
And, you know, speaking of that, a lot of times the reason we are so upset and distraught all the time is that we are worried about what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she mentioned that.
Right.
You know, we get worried about what other people think of us, and so we don't show our passion for God. We don't talk our passion for God. We don't talk about the love that we have in our hearts for God and for God's people. Instead, we're just kind of mealy-mouthed, you know, about our commitment. And I mean, it shows all the time in people that don't make the commitment to read their Bible or study the Word or come to church or whatever. I mean, it's just that lazy, woe is me, it's all about me attitude that we see everywhere, PJ. I mean, this is not just in churches. We see it out there in the world everywhere. Right. It's all about me, me, me. Go ahead.
I was just thinking of that song we sing, It's All About You, Jesus.
Right, it is. You know,
it's all about me, Jesus.
Right.
It's all about me.
Well, you know, that's the way we act sometimes.
You're absolutely right. Sometimes we act that way, that it is, you know, it's all about us, and it's not.
Right.
We need to get over that. Because, if we try to protect our image or whatever, then we're not going to be effective.
Right.
We're not going to be effective in our own spiritual growth. We're not going to be effective in helping other people.
Absolutely.
Because what's the craziest thing in the world except to believe that Jesus died for me, rose again, is God in the flesh, and is coming back.
Amen. And that he's in the process of saving us.
Right.
And setting us free.
Right.
You know, from all these things that have just really torn us up for so long.
People will catch you cross-eyed. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jesus said, if you confess me before other people, I'll confess you before
Absolutely.
The Father.
Right.
If you deny me, I'll deny you.
Right.
And now, more than any time, we need, when it's, I'm not saying it's always easy, but it's going to get tougher.
Right.
As this world starts spinning toward the end, it's going to get tougher to stand up for Jesus.
It is. And to really live that love life, you know? To care about people to the extent that we pray for them, care enough. You know, Jesus, when he was talking to these back in John 8, he was talking to the religious leaders, and he said, you think you're of Abraham, but wait a minute, Abraham was the father of faith. You know, Abraham believed God, and Abraham called those things that be not as if they were. In other words, Abraham was a prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, Abraham was in touch with God. Right. He had a personal relationship with God. And Jesus says, you really think your children, descendants of Abraham, you may be is genetically, but are you spiritually?
Right. And that's the most important thing. Are you a spiritual son of Abraham or daughter of Abraham? You know, that's what really counts. Physical descent. I mean, obviously, we're all physically descended from Adam.
Right.
We're all physically descended from Noah.
Right.
Okay, that doesn't really... What matters is, are we spiritually descended from Abraham? Do we believe God?
Exactly.
And is it counted to us as righteousness? Because that's what Abraham did, you know? God said, let's go outside, look at the stars. That's how many kids... That's how many descendants you're going to have.
Absolutely.
And Abraham went out, and he just, in simple trust, said, okay...
Okay, I believe you.
I believe you.
Right.
And God said, you know what? You're righteous.
Yeah.
You're in right standing with me because you believe.
It's all about believing. And if we really believe that God is love, okay, then it changes the way we behave and it changes our attitudes, okay? It's not okay to be mean and nasty and hold grudges and be angry, especially to brothers and sisters of Christ. In the body of Christ.
Right.
It is not okay to say, but they did this. Meh, 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 and have an attitude of unforgiveness and standoffishness. And I don't know if that's even a word. And an attitude of, a bitterness and resentment. Remember, a sin is a selfish decision that hurts God.
Right.
It's selfish when we hold a grudge. It's selfish when we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's even selfish when we don't love the unlovely, you know, that maybe not be our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we are commanded to love. We don't have an excuse. Jesus, the young, I call him an attorney, but it was really just a religious leader, came to Jesus in John 10, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, how's it read to you? And he said,
you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind.
Right.
And your neighbor as yourself.
Your neighbor as yourself.
Well, yeah, and of course, then, you know,
your neighbor. Who's your neighbor?
Yeah, Jesus said, that's good. You're on the right track. Do this and you'll live. And that, you know, again, we talked about before how sometimes it's just like too easy. So the young scribe had to justify himself. So he said, wait a minute, who is my neighbor? Well, that's where Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Right.
You know, I'll show you who your neighbor is, the despised Samaritan.
Right.
That's who your neighbor is.
In other words, we aren't just, I've heard it preached, oh, you got to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, but everybody else you don't have to love. Bull crap. You know? Did I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
I did. Okay. All righty then, I did. You know, it's not just loving brothers and sisters in Christ. And because at that very verse, Jesus said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your soul, your might, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? That story, that the neighbor was not just the lovely Christian sitting beside you in the pew that agrees with everything you say.
Yeah, it was that stinky old half-breed Samaritan.
A stinky old half-breed Samaritan. All right, but PJ, I believe that people, and I'm on my soapbox right now, my preaching soapbox. But I'll tell you what, the churches are full of people who get up on Sunday and rant and rave, and they are mean and nasty to people who don't look and act like they do. Years ago, it was all the black community got it. Double barrel between the eyes all the time. And there were people who preached from this nation's pulpits that black people, second-class citizens, not of God, you know. And, oh, we can't let them in our church. They have to go to their own church, you know, black church, you know, their own drinking fountains, you know. You know, it's not about that. Jesus made us a certain color for a reason, whatever his reasons are. But we got to love. We don't have an excuse here. Well, just love those who act like you and look like you and believe exactly the way you do.
Exactly.
Those are the ones that, and you know, what they've done to the gay community just fries me to no end, because we are being maligned from quote unquote pulpits across the United States as being sinners doomed to hell. Some of them even say doomed to hell in a handbasket. And yet God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him. And I don't mention that topic very often on the air at all, but it fits right here. We are called to love, and it doesn't matter if somebody looks like you or acts like you or is totally different and has stripes and polka dots or whatever all over them. We are called to love people whether they agree with us or not. So
that can be hard. But I recall that one June morning a few years back. I believe it was my first time at Beacon? First time we were at the Pride Parade.
Oh, okay.
And that one man came up and kind of wanted to start an argument. And remember, Alina backed away and I was right there.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at him and I said, well, you know, we both want the same thing, I think. We really want people to get saved, to come to know Jesus and to get saved.
Right.
That's the most important thing. What God chooses to do with you after that, that's up to God.
Right.
But we can both agree at least that God wants everybody, you know, God wants
that's
us
his
to spread
goal.
The gospel. And it was kind of disarming to him.
Yeah. Didn't know what to do with that.
But yeah. And, you know, praise God. I praise God. It was one of those times when the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, there was a part of me that wanted to react in anger.
Right. And, but that's not the answer.
Right. And just,
love is the
just
answer.
Who do you think you are?
Right.
But yeah, love. It's love that's going to make the difference.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it doesn't matter. God says, you know, love.
Right.
Love.
And if we don't agree or somebody doesn't agree with us or see things the way we see it, okay, whatever. I can still love you. Cedric, we're going to reverse the next two songs, and let's go to track 6, You Can Have Me by Sidewalk Prophets, and then we'll do the last one. Because this is where we need to be, to a place in our spiritual lives where we say, God, you can have me. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can change my attitudes. You can do a work in me, God, that needs to be done. I don't have to be mired down in the same old hypocritical, judgmental, non-caring, non-loving attitudes that I've had. Sidewalk Prophets.
If I saw you on the street and you said, come and follow me, but I had to give up everything, all I once held dear and all of my dreams, would I love you enough to let go? Or would my love run dry when you ask for my life? When did love become unmoving? When did love become unconsumed?
Become unmoving. When did love become unconsuming? Father of love, you can have me. That song couldn't have been more perfect right there at that moment. I mean, amazing, amazing, amazing. When did love become unmoving?
Right.
I think Betty's going to call in here for it. Did she call in? Yeah, she's going to call in a minute if she has a comment about that. When did love become unmoving? I know when. When we lost our passion for Jesus.
Right.
When we just settled into a groove of fire insurance. You know, oh yeah, I'm saved. I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven someday. Well, okay. How has that changed your life?
Exactly.
How has that impacted you? And how does that impact everybody around you?
Right. Well, I think of that verse in John or Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus.
Yes.
Jesus said, you know, you're doing all these great things. You got the right doctrine.
Right.
You're doing these great things, but you've lost your first love.
Yes.
You lost the fire.
Yes.
You lost the passion.
Right.
And he actually calls them to repent.
Right.
You know, turn away from that. Turn back from that.
Wow.
Repent of this lack of love.
Repent.
And do the things you did at first. You know, and restore the passion.
Yes. Restore the passion. Betty, are you on the line? Is she there? Oh, there she is. Restore the passion, Betty. PJ and I together here, we're just preaching here. We're just preaching up a storm, BT.
Hey, I tell you what. We're excited. We are among about three or four other listeners up here in Indiana, and we're just thankful that, you know, we have a God
yes.
that is forgiving.
Woo!
And that's what we need to do as Christians.
Right.
If someone wrongs us or says something that, just kind of makes us just a little bit red under the skin.
Right.
His commandment tells us to forgive one another.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about forgiveness. It doesn't mean we agree with what they did. We let right. it go. They don't owe us anymore. You know?
That's right. Amen. Amen, sister. Preach it.
Betty, that song, there couldn't have been more perfect right then. When did love become unmoving and unconsuming? You know, Father of love, you can have me. I mean, those words are just mighty, don't you think?
Most definitely. And you and Pastor Jim were talking about a few minutes ago about the me syndrome. And I think that love has become an old style or way of thinking. But in God's world, in God's element, is that's still the ultimate goal, is to love.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, one of those old songs that says, sometimes people are hard to love, and sometimes it's just hard to forgive. But he still commands us to love one another. And, we talked about this last week about his love being everlasting.
Yes.
And it goes on it's been going on for 2,000 years. And I think he wants us, we want to be the generation that breaks the chains.
Woo! Praise God. Oh, I like that. We want to be the generation that breaks the chains. So the one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking. And we declare that right now, Isaiah 51:14. Over this listening audience, those that listen now, those that listen in the future, because God wants us set free. PJ, comment on this. Betty, those are right on words.
Yeah, it's so important. We can never minimize love, because love is more than just gush. You know,
it's not gush.
It's not gush at all. It's the Greek word that you mentioned before, agape. It's a deliberate act of your will.
Right.
It's not based on feelings.
Right.
You know, you're in a relationship with somebody. Yeah, you might agape them, but you may not always phileo them. You know,
right? You may not like them that well.
You may
sometimes.
Not like them that well sometimes. But you know, and what, especially as we see, and this is beginning to be a recurring theme, but as we draw closer to the end of this age,
right?
Jesus said, because of the increase in lawlessness, and what do we see? We're seeing an increase in lawlessness. The agape of the many will grow cold.
Right.
But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And, you know, that's not talking about the world.
Right. It's talking about Christians.
It's talking about Christians.
Yeah.
Because of the increase in lawlessness, Christian right. love is like, you know, Jesus warns us, be careful, because your love might grow cold, but it's the one who endures in love to the end who'll be saved, because that's the only way, you know. And love, like I said, it's not gush. It's that deliberate act of your will. And as we do that, then we get everything else from God. We get
Amen.
The empowering, the anointing, all of that, I believe, comes because we love God and we have that passion.
Totally.
So that's the only way to survive in this world now, and certainly the only way as we draw closer to the return of Jesus.
Oh, Betty, comment on that. Woo!
And as we draw closer to the second coming of Christ, is that it looks to me like that it's getting harder and harder for people to love.
Yeah,
it's almost
it is.
Like we've become calloused.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've become cold. We've become disheartened. And you know, if you actually see, when you were talking about glistening and having, you know, you just ooze Jesus, is that, you know, when people look at you and they smile at you and they say, there's something different about you, that's the way that all Christians should be.
Yes.
Is that you have such a it's almost like a glistening anointing that you have.
A glistening anointing. I like that.
Anointing, because I want people to see Jesus in me. And
right.
The only way that they can see Jesus in me is by the way that I act.
Right.
So if I'm at my favorite place, Walmart, or
right.
if I'm at the grocery store, or even if I walk into a church that I have never been in before, and I did this at Easter by myself, is that when I walked in, the lady looked at me and she said, "Welcome to such and such church." And I said, "Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here." She goes, "You're a praying woman, aren't you?"
Huh.
And we use that kind of talk here in Indiana. And I said, "Yes,
aren't
ma'am,
you?
I am a praying woman."
Aren't
she says, "Well, you know what? We need more people like you." And she said, "Thank you. Thank you for being you, because I can see Jesus in you."
Woo!
And
amen.
You want to talk? I mean, I got Holy Spirit goosebumps, because that's the way people should see us when we walk up to another brother and sister, is that you may not know their name.
Right.
You may have never seen them, or they just may be a glimpse in your eye, and you look at them and think, "Wow, what's different about them?" That's the way that we should all be.
Oh,
and
amen.
Even, it's amazing to me, Pastor, that how people can call themselves Christians and yet not love their brother and sister.
Oh, my. PJ, do you want to respond to that?
Well,
wow, that's good stuff.
When you started talking, Betty, I'm thinking, because I actually just read it yesterday, about Moses would go into the tent of meeting. And, you know, what did he have to do? Because there he was in there communing with God. He was talking to God. He came out and his face was glistening.
Glistening. Anointing, BT.
He had the anointing. The glory of God rested on
right.
him. And he had to put a veil over his face because
mm-hmm.
it scared people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sort of that same thing
wow.
with us. We spend more time with God, really just loving God and letting God love us and praying and all of that. That it's going to start coming through, that
Woo.
Anointing. And, you know, people are going to see it in our actions. They're going to see
absolutely.
It in, they're going to see it in our face. They're going to see it in our voice.
In our attitudes. I mean, we may think that our hearts are not revealed by our mouths. But, I mean, I was teaching on this morning, Betty, about John 8, where Jesus talks about the deception, you know, and the lies that come. And the devil is the father of lies, you know, and people yeah. are deceivers by nature. It's when we get renewed by God and accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and he begins to do the cleanup process. And I mentioned this morning, there's three phases to that. Number one, you were saved when you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if any of you out there in Radio Land have not done that, we will pray with you in a little while, because that's step one. And you were saved. You accepted Jesus into your heart. You said, "Come and live in me." But that's not the end of it all, because Paul says you were saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. Okay? The being saved is what's going on right now, where the Holy Spirit, who I like to call Mr. Clean, is in there doing a work on the inside of us, cleaning us up from our selfishness, from our me syndrome, from everybody, "Look at me, look at me, look at me."
Right.
Instead, God is saying, "Let me be Mr. Clean in your life and show you those areas that you need to be repenting of. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And then the third step, we will be saved, because one of these days, "I'll fly away, oh Lordy, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, bye and bye, I'll fly away." And so we will be saved. We will go to live with him eternally. So back to this, that cleanup process. PJ, talk to us about that, and then we'll get back to Betty for a comment there.
Well, yeah, I mean, every day we all live in the world. So we
right.
quite honestly, it's like walking down a dusty road. We pick up dirt.
Right.
And we need that daily cleansing
yes.
because we're in contact with the world, with other people, whatever. So we kind of pick up the, we kind of get, I don't want to sound too strong, but we get contaminated.
We do get contaminated. Yeah, that's why we have Purell in our cars.
Exactly. You know, we have that kind of the flow gets sometimes
Purell. You like the name? Go ahead.
Yeah, can sometimes get blocked, the flow of the spirit and our relationship with God, because, you know, just being in the world, worries, sin, whatever, just dirt from the world. So we need that daily
stinking
cleansing.
Attitudes around us, stinking thinking.
So we need that cleansing. We need that time. You know, we need that bar of soap. 1 John 1:9. You know, if we, you know, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Woo!
And that's that daily cleansing. The word does the same thing. You get into the word.
Yes.
The word, Paul says, washes us. The washing of the word.
The washing of the word.
It's like getting your feet washed at the Last Supper.
Right.
You know, Jesus said, if you've been washed completely.
Right.
You know, okay, we're washed in the blood of Jesus. So we don't need to get saved again. We just need to get our feet washed.
Oh, yeah.
We just need that refreshing, that cleanse, get the dirt off.
Right.
And that's a daily thing.
It's a daily thing. Sometimes when I take my little doggies out, Bailey and Zoe, sometimes Bailey manages to find every mud puddle or every little bit of dirt. And there are times I've had to go get a rag. Zoe doesn't do this, but he does. She's way too finicky. But he does. He just rolls around in that, you know, wants to get. And you got to wash him off before he walks in and tracks it all in. Because we track the dust and the dirt of our lives and attitudes and stinking thinking all into the places where we shouldn't, other people's lives. Betty, talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I think it was you and maybe it was Nan that, and maybe Pastor Jim, had talked about hoarding.
Oh, yeah.
And when you think of, when I think of hoarding, is I think of stuff just jammed up in corners and stuff under your stuff that shouldn't be under stuff, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
That when Mr. Clean comes in,
He dehoards. I love that.
I know, that's a new Indian vocabulary
word.
Yeah,
it's a new word.
He does. He comes in, and we talked about this before, he comes in and cleans out the nooks and the crannies. Stuff that shouldn't be there. And I believe that we need to be, we're all sinners.
Right.
We sin. I know I do. I can't speak for anyone else, and I will not. I sin daily. But you know what? He gives me that opportunity to say, oh, Heavenly Father, please forgive me.
Amen.
And that's when his love just encompasses and surrounds us and says, yes, Betty, I forgive you. Or yes, Marcia, my chosen one, Pastor Jim, my chosen one, I forgive you.
Right.
And you know what, Marcia? It is that easy.
It is.
It is not hard. It is not rocket science.
It isn't.
It isn't anything that you need to think about, contemplate, and put it in your memory, into your memory chip. It's something that you just, all you have to do is say, Father, please forgive me.
Amen. You got to get it right.
Yeah, you got to get it out. You got to take that sweeper bag out every now and then and throw it out.
That's right.
You've got to do that with yourself. You've got to look at yourself and say, okay, Lord, what have I done? What do I need with your communication? What do I need to do to clean my house?
Amen. And I really believe with our study in the book of John, in John 4 and 5, we'll see it over and over again. We are called to love. We are called to love when people are not lovely. We are called to love people that are absolutely mean to us. And we are called to love them enough to pray for them. And that is the ultimate thing. I believe that when people are giving you a hard time, best thing you can do for them is not to bite back and be nasty and call five friends, but it is instead to get on your knees and pray for that person, that God is going to show them what they need to see. And that's why I love praying in the spirit, because we don't have to pray a specific, Lord, show them their pride. You know, that's not for us to figure out what it is that they need to be shown. You know, PJ, what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I like, that's what I like too about praying in the spirit, because you don't know Sometimes,
yeah.
You know, sometimes our, what we think.
Right, isn't the
in
answer.
In all of our wisdom.
Right, in all of our wisdom.
We know what, you know, we think we know what's best for other
right.
people. That's not always the case. And, you know, we just need to just sometimes pray, Lord, your will
right.
be done in this situation, because I don't know what your will is.
Exactly.
I know what I'd like to see, but maybe that's not what you want.
God sees the bigger picture. Talk to us, BT. You didn't know you were staying on here. You can jump off any minute.
This is good. Hey, you got me out of painting, so I appreciate that.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, one of the things that came to mind was that song by, I think it's Matthew West, Forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That the person that it frees is you.
Right. Yeah.
And one of the things that I had encountered many years ago was in the workplace where people can persecute you.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you turn around and you smother them with kindness, forgiveness.
Amen.
And you know what? It's like they don't know what to think.
Oh, no. They're caught off guard.
That they're going to get a rebellious, interactive attack from them, and all you do is love them.
Ooh.
And like you love them like Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus would do. Would Jesus come up and condemn you for something that he thought you said or he thought you did? No. People were getting it wrong. We're overemphasizing the need to want to condemn.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Judge. Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged.
Yes, lest ye be judged.
Right.
If you can cast the first stone,
right.
do it. Most of we couldn't. We couldn't do it.
Right.
But Jesus wants us to be the way he wants us to walk mm-hmm. in his light.
The judgment. Not, I agree. Go on.
Go ahead. And is that he wants us walking in the light. And when we're not walking in the light, where are we, Pastor? We're in the darkness. And that's not where he wants us. He wants us all walking in the light. He wants us walking in the most super word I could ever say is victory.
Victory.
And because we have victory over the devil, but that's where the devil wants to keep us. He wants to keep us condemning people.
Yeah.
He wants us to keep us under condemnation. He wants us to keep us under his foot, under his thumb. That's not where Jesus wants us. That's
Amen.
Not where he wants his children. He wants them walking in the light, victorious, with mercy and grace. So it doesn't get much easier than that, Pastor.
Amen. And 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then, there's an if then again, PJ, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then
we have fellowship one with another, and
Amen.
The blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin.
There it is. If we,
but we
do
have
that.
To bring those things, we have to be in the light.
Right.
The blood, you know, kind of going back to your salvation thing. Yeah, the blood is already, you know, it's already, the blood's there. It's already forgiven.
Right.
God's already forgiven us because of the blood. But it's not applied to our hearts unless
right.
we walk in the light.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, John's whole thing was, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, which means, Lord, I bring the light those things.
Right.
Then we have fellowship because we
right.
can. There's nothing blocking it. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin.
Oh, praise God. God has a way of revealing deceptions and lies and things that are not of the light. He has a way of doing it, I'm telling you. So, you know, it's better just to come willingly to the throne of grace to receive mercy in time of need. Betty, it's been great. I so appreciate you calling in. And Betty, you're not going to believe this song that we closed our praise and worship with this morning. So it's fitting for this show today. One of my favorites by the group Selah, and it is You Raise Me Up, because we can't do this in our own strength, but we have to, and it says right there, when I am sitting on your shoulders, then I'm strong.
Then I'm strong.
You know, you raise me up to be able to love the unlovely. You raise me up to be able to walk out my Christian faith. Thank you, Betty. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye, Betty.
Here we go.
Bye, Pastor Jim.
I am down and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Raise me up to more than I can be. Only he can be the one that cleans up our attitudes, PJ. Only the Holy Spirit, as we submit to God Almighty and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change those attitudes and behaviors that are not pleasing to God, only then, when we submit, will it be done? Because God does not violate our free will.
Right.
And if we stubbornly think we're fine, there's nothing wrong with me, God is sitting there over there going, oh, if you only understood just how much clean you need from Mr. Clean, you know, just how much work you need done on the inside. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, show us those things, because you are going to raise me up so that I can be all that you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do it, God. It's not in my strength. I can't do it in my strength.
I can do all things through Christ,
right,
who strengthens me. But you're right. In me, I mean, even Paul says this in Romans 7, in me no good thing dwells.
Right.
I don't have the strength on my own to do the things I know God wants me to do.
Right.
I can try, but then I'm going to fail, and that's just a real bad cycle starting there. And yet in Christ, I can do it.
Right.
But you're right, Pastor. We have to submit and just say, okay, I can't do this. You can. Let me, you know, that, I think of that footprints in the sand.
Right.
In the toughest time, you know, where am I? How come there's only one set of footprints? Because I was carrying.
Mm.
And sometimes, I mean, that's humbling to let God carry us.
Well, that's the words of that song. And I love that song. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You know, I mean, we think we're strong when we're doing it ourselves and we're doing this and we're, oh, I need to work on that attitude. But you know what? It's the Holy Spirit right. that will come in, show you things. Things will happen to you when you least expect it. And you see your attitude. You see your cotton picking negativity or your anger or your rage or your unforgiveness.
Really, yeah, did I really say that?
Oh my gosh, did I just say that, you know? And that's God showing you, and then you say, oh Lord, forgive me. You know? If you are not sure of your salvation right this moment, if you died tonight, would you be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity? If you cannot confidently say yes, then we invite you to pray this prayer. PJ, if you'll repeat it after me.
Absolutely.
Repeat this prayer now with PJ as I pray it. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I choose to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father.
That Jesus came to this earth to show us the Father.
That Jesus died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That Jesus died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
And that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
And that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe all of that.
I believe all of that.
And because I do, I ask you now.
And because I do, I ask you now.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. To forgive me for anything and everything.
To forgive me for anything and everything.
That I've ever said or done.
That I've ever said or done.
Was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
Forgive me of all my sin.
Forgive me of all my sin.
Come and live on the inside of me.
Come and live on the inside of me.
And clean me up.
And clean me up.
I want to become.
I want to become.
All that you would have me be.
All that you would have me be.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You have now received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior if you prayed that prayer with PJ just now. Wow. Give me some final thoughts. And thank you, Betty, for calling in. Megan, for writing. It's always good to have some of our radio team joining us. But talk to me, PJ.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Great show.
Yeah, great show.
And, as always.
And, but again, I don't think we can stress enough God's love.
Amen.
You know, you can't even compare it to anything on earth.
Right.
You know, the love of a spouse or a husband or a wife, the love of a parent to a
right.
child.
Right.
This goes so far beyond that.
It does.
That it's just amazing.
Right.
And, you know, there's that couple of versions of the song, Amazing Love. You know, the old version, the Wesley version, Amazing Love, how can it be that thou, my Lord, didst die for me?
Yes.
You know, it's amazing, this love. And John says that's God's nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the nature that he wants to bring out in us.
Amen.
Because that's what, you know. That's what's going to bring people to him. Not,
right.
you know, people might see our miracles, you know, might see miracles and want to come to God. But, you know, those are flashy.
Right.
But love is that steady, guiding, bright light.
Amen. And it's that love that attracts us.
Mm-hmm.
God is love, and we are attracted to love. People love love. They love to be loved, and they love to know that people love them. But especially the good news of the gospel is God is love.
Right.
And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have
everlasting life.
Everlasting life. So we welcome you to write us. You can write Pastor Jim directly to him. He's a scholar of the word. You can write him. He is. Pastor Jim at BOHMGlobal.com. You can write me, just Pastor, because I had mine before Pastor Jim came along. So Pastor at BOHMGlobal.com. You can write us. We will write you back. Mm-hmm. And if you have prayer needs, you write prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you'd like to join us for service, we're in Clearwater, and you go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and it'll tell you all about the church. We're charismatic. That means we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, and we love the Lord with all our hearts. We're just a word-teaching, spirit-filled ministry, and we welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10:30. And Wednesday night at 7, Bible study. Great time, isn't it?
It's a great time. Bible study's great because it's interactive.
Right.
We had some great interactions going last weekend.
Teaching. We're not quite done with that, the second coming.
Right. And, you know, there's just, it's kind of question and answer, and kind of didactic, and it's really good.
It's fun.
But we also, before Bible study, we have a time of prayer.
Right.
You know, we have a prayer, kind of our prayer hour, or 45 minutes, and we know that's the time when we take prayer requests, praise reports. We pray out of, the name escapes
prayers
me.
That avail
prayers
much.
Prayers that avail
by
much.
By Jermaine
Thank
Copeland.
You. And, you know, word-based
Amen.
Prayers. So we spend that time, that 45 minutes in prayer. Then
right.
we get into the Word, and we're usually done by 8:30.
Right.
You know, at the latest.
So Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. And then, you know, again, like Pastor said, Sunday mornings, 10 o'clock, we're meeting at the Ramada Inn.
10:30.
10:30.
I'm
stuck on that 10 o'clock
That's
thing.
All right.
10:30, Ramada Inn on Olmerton in
Amen.
Clearwater. Great time. Great
Amen.
Time in the Word. Great time of praise and worship.
Great time. And we're so glad you joined us today. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and listen to some old radio shows. Cedric, our engineer, said to me last week, we don't play this in song enough. We're going to do it soon on the middle of the show. It's Not Far to Jesus. See you next week. We're so glad you joined us today.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.